George, and we are back. We are back with Mai Tai Happy Hour, episode number 50. That's 5.
What?
Oh. What? That is like 5 and a giant goose egg.
Wow.
That's like we're awesome and then we're not. Like 5-0.
Dude, that's 5-0. Huge. 50 that's episodes big. Is huge.
Have you done 50 episodes of a podcast ever?
Never.
Have you, Ken?
Yes.
Really? I'm very, very impressed. So as you can already hear right now, as you should all know, we have the Master of Evil. The artist formerly known as Kenneth Lucas, now known as I mean, it's really just like, I've been trying. I've been working on this.
You have a great black metal voice. Yeah, no, it's awesome.
It's all like it comes out of my bowels.
Honored
like,
to be here for the 50th.
Like, it's kind of like when my diarrhea is about to approach. I just sit down and go, Gurs!
It's crazy.
And then
it's
I buy your art and I tell everybody how awesome your art is.
His art's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's not.
You're both
like,
great.
It's not like it's not like the Virgin Mary made out of like horse dung.
No.
It is. What? It is. God. You don't remember? You that young? Don't you remember? That was like big controversy. I think it was the Met or somewhere that had someone did a Virgin Mary made out of like horse poo or cow poo or something.
Yeah, that's something I just try to steer clear of.
Really?
Well, yeah,
it was modern art. You didn't feel like that was like first our First Amendment freedom being taken away from us?
No, it just seemed like it was bait.
It was bait.
You know, total bait.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of pooping. I'm a big fan of curse. And I am a huge fan. Of our little snowflake.
I am special.
I think we've found your nickname.
Snowflake.
Let's try it. Introducing in the corner, weighing 201 pounds.
That's
the
generous.
Snowflake Hambone.
Yeah, I like it because I'm light, I'm airy, I'm friendly, I'm magical.
You lick my boom boom down.
I lick your boom boom down. Yeah, snowflake works.
I am George. We are back. This is, as you've heard many times now, episode 50. I'm here with Hambone. I'm here with Ken Lucas. We're going to have Don Becker joining us later in the show to talk way too much about wrestling.
Yes!
He is our favorite. We love Don Becker. Everybody here loves Don Becker. Do you love Don Becker?
I love Don Becker.
Do you love Don Becker?
Always.
I love Don Becker. We love Don Becker.
Big fans.
Big fans of Don Becker.
Big fans.
Just want to make sure we got that out right there and then. We love Don Becker. We also love cocktails.
Yes, we do.
And Hambone is continuing a month of punch. The month of punch. We need intros for all this stuff. I need drops for month of punch.
Month of punch. So
cocktails.
This is.
I also make that noise when I poop too.
You know what that kind
month
of sounds
Month of punch. That's why I get the rock out.
Hambone should get you a squatty potty for Christmas.
Josh Goldfarb already got me one.
I got a squatty potty too. I will tell you that if you're going Mother Crunch, they must hate you at work in the public bathrooms.
No, I just want to make it clear. I am a courtesy flusher. Like notorious. Like I flush, boom. It's like drop, boom. Courtesy flush. Courtesy
no
flush.
No smell.
Courtesy flush. Like I am just. I don't mess around. Like, I'm not like that.
You're like a semi-automatic courtesy flush.
Yeah,
like
it's
every
like
turn,
I'm a
pow, pow, pow.
Courtesy flush. Courtesy flush. Every person out there should courtesy flush. This is a PSA from George to you that the courtesy flush, especially in a public work bathroom.
I feel like we need to bring the courtesy flush back.
I don't understand. And I have it worse because I have a courtesy flush, but I don't have a flusher. I have a push button because it's automatic. So you have to like go touch the pee-pee button.
So you always have like one hand behind your back while you're shitting at work. So you just courtesy flush.
Got to touch the pee-pee button. It's so tough. Like you hit the pee-pee button and it's like, now I got like, so I got to touch my phone, but it's going to be the left hand. So I got like, the pee-pee button and you got the white button. And, it's tough.
That's a lot of buttons.
Note to self, get George a box of latex gloves for Christmas.
Okay, so.
Hey, they sell them at Costco, 400 for 20 bucks.
We're going to interrupt this, this conversation right now to talk about the favorite places we've pooped at.
Oh, let's do this.
Let's do this. This was not on the docket for tonight, and this might push another segment out of the way.
That's fine.
Possibly the one about gremlins. I'm just kidding, Hambone.
No, that's fine.
I've got a couple. Have I talked about Coney Island High and my pooping experience there on air?
No, but I actually had a story about Coney Island High as well. But
so let's talk. Where is the worst place, the most amazing place, the whatever that you have defecated in, Hambone?
CBGB's bathroom on the throne with no door.
Wow.
Yeah. Like,
why? Tell me about how did you lead into this? Defecation.
So it was one of the first times I've ever played CBGBs. Now, I've been to CBGBs before, and I always kind of knew that there was other places you can go to shit in the area, and then they open up the gallery next door. And the whole move was, oh, you can go, you know, you got to use the bathroom at CBGBs, just walk next door to the gallery. The bathrooms are always generally clean. However, on this one day, and I remember it like it was yesterday, it was August, it was hot, someone had that plan ahead of me, fucked up the bathrooms at the gallery, so all that was left, and I had to go real bad. So for those of you who don't know or never been to CBGB's, so CBGB's looks so cool in all the pictures that people take and these great rock and roll photos. It was an absolute shithole where you could put your foot through the stage if you stood in the wrong space. They used to make pizzas downstairs, and then eventually it would just turn into all bathrooms. So the men's room, when you got to the very bottom of the stairs, you could actually see into the men's room because there was no door. Now, directly in front of you on a three-step dais was the fucking toilet of CBGB. So if you got down the steps and you just looked dead ahead, you could make eye contact with a person taking a shit. So obviously everyone tried their damnedest not to shit at CBGB's, but I was about to shit my pants. So the prospect of shitting my pants, and of course someone was in the ladies room and would not come out of the ladies room. They were doing cocaine. So all I my only recourse was to shit at CBGB. So I got up there and just kind of just try to keep my head down and not make eye contact with anyone when I was trying to wipe. It was fucking hot because CBGB's was always hot. It was sweaty, and it was one of the most terrible experiences of my life.
Ken, what's the worst place you've ever shit at?
Well, my father always made my brother and I kind of discipline ourselves, so...
Wait. Let's rewind here. What are you talking about?
So, like... and I hate germs, so I don't really have, I guess, too many emergencies like that. I don't know.
You've never had an emergency?
I mean, I have had an emergency. But, like a fast food joint or anything, but...
But you haven't shit at, like, a horrible place.
Yeah, not like CBGB's. I mean, I've been in the bathroom at the bank, but, you know, never took a dump in there, but it was pretty disgusting.
So, we need to make this...
Maybe a porta john.
We need to
be the worst for me.
We need to make this a regular segment on our show.
Yeah.
So, I will not give away a lot of them. Needless to say, I have shit at... I've shit at Port Authority in the upstairs bathroom, Penn Station in the upstairs bathroom. I've shit on a New Jersey Transit
Port
train.
Port Authority.
I've been
in those bathrooms.
Done every concert hall you can imagine I've christened. I poop a lot. I have bowels that poop a lot. And usually I eat dinner before I go to a concert. And usually, especially when it's New York, I'll eat someplace I shouldn't be eating at and eat something I shouldn't be eating.
Because you're a fucking daredevil.
Yeah, especially back when. So Coney Island High, great club in the St. Mark's Place area. They're owned by the lead singer of D-Generation, Jesse Malin, at the time. Lasted about 4 years. Legendary club. Died before its prime. It's still there as a Chinese restaurant, I believe. Well, we were, as usual, either I'd be interviewing a band and then have to wait till the doors open. I'd be the first one in. But I knew if I didn't take a shit, I'd try to get there when doors open because the bathroom should be freshly cleaned. What I didn't realize, a lot of things. Okay, I have to poop really bad. Really bad diarrhea. It's building. Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. Holding, turtle. It is bad. It is really, really bad. I'm getting the cursed blutz. And so I run in. Coney Island High was a complete death trap. You had to run up and then down to get in. Run up, run down, get in, flip the lights on. Go sit down, make sure there's toilet paper. You always make sure. I don't believe in padding a toilet paper seat. I won't I will clean it. I will wipe it. I'll get a wet paper towel. I will wipe the toilet seat. I do not believe in putting down.
You don't make the nest.
I don't make the nest because I'm fat and therefore I rip it and I defeats the purpose and I always feel like I might shit on it.
This is why we're best friends. I do the exact same thing.
Just clean the fucking toilet seat. You can't get AIDS from a toilet seat. Whoever fucking told you that is a moron. It just doesn't happen. George. You can't. You can't get AIDS from a toilet seat. You can't get AIDS.
But you could get someone else's poo on your butt.
Yeah, that doesn't get you AIDS. That just gets you, like, the clop or something. It's just nasty.
It's gross.
But it's okay, because I've had so much shit on my ass. Like, it just doesn't matter.
You're immune. You're immune.
So, anyway, continuing. So I run in. I shit. It's good. It goes down. I'm like, oh. Pre-cell phones. I can't tell you. You know, I can't stare and read. I can't do anything. I might have a fanzine if I'm lucky. So I get up. I can't tell you what show it was. I feel it was Pennywise in the Boston's, but I could be wrong. I get up. The door, you know, luckily it locks, but it's dark in there. It's very, very dark. And I look to the left, and I look to the right, and the wall is moving.
Oh, my God.
And I wasn't on drugs at the time. I wasn't sure what it was, but I'm like, the wall is legitimately moving on me. It's really weird. And I'm looking closely, and, like, I'm trying to wipe my ass, but there's still more coming. It's like... And I notice very close, I touch the wall to see if it's like some kind of wallpaper thing.
It might be a ghost.
It is a wall of 4 billion cockroaches.
Oh, God, it's even worse than the ghost.
This is like Temple of Doom.
The entire wall of City Garden, of Coney Island High, is all cockroach. And it's because I was the first one in, and they just turned the lights on. And they scatter when the lights hit. But they hadn't scattered yet because the lights just went on. And I shit with a million cockroaches. I screamed, wiped, and ran out of that bathroom.
I kind of sometimes wish terrible. We had a live feed so everyone who's listening at home right now could see the abject horror and disgust on my face.
Our faces.
I am so gross. I can't even tell that you're grossed out because my eyes are closed. I'm so grossed out.
Well, you know what? Since I don't have a good pooping story for you, I will tell you this. Having worked at Starbucks, I will say it now because I no longer work there, I had to clean bathrooms. So I'm going to give you the list of the best things I've seen in or cleaned up in a Starbucks bathroom.
Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. My first store, someone one day told us the sink was clogged, and when we went in, there were 20 crack vials clogging the sink. I've also found heroin needles, cleaned up blood, semen, vomit. Have found people leave poo outside the door of the bathrooms, like in the little vestibule area covered by napkins. Oh, in the former town Hambone I used to work in, I would find 1 to 6 empty liquor bottles a day plus pregnancy tests daily.
Yeah, that's a town that loves its drugs and booze.
Yeah, drugs, condoms, booze, you name it. Starbucks bathrooms.
I'm holding back so much because we're gonna make this a monthly
special. This is a monthly special.
This is gonna be a monthly special.
Monthly special.
Remind me of the time I went to Sonic in Vegas and I had to do diarrhea, but there was a guy shooting up in there and I had to remove him manually with the needle in his arm so I could take a shit, and he just sat in the corner while I pooped.
Oh, there we go.
I will get there's so much stuff we gotta go to. But right now what we really want to talk about after this is cocktail. So give us this punch.
I feel like I need a drink after that. So what this is, in the spirit of punches for the holidays. This is an actual Captain Morgan Cran Apple Rum Punch. Now, this does serve 15 to 20 people. The ingredients are pretty simple. You're going to need 4 apples, 2 cups of cranberry, fresh or frozen, 3 cinnamon sticks, 1.5 teaspoon of cloves, 1.5 cups of sugar, 1.5 cups of water, 1.5 cups of orange juice, 1.5 cups of apple cider, 2 tablespoons sliced ginger, 1 tablespoon lemon zest, 4 tablespoons lemon juice, 3 cups apple cider, and 2 cups Captain Morgan spiced rum, which I think is bullshit. You should always use more than 2 cups of rum.
In a punch, especially.
But this one it takes a little bit of preparation. It's not just making jungle juice, just throwing stuff in a garbage can. So what we have here is in a large stock pot, you're going to add all the ingredients, the apples, cranberry, cinnamon sticks, cloves, sugar, water, orange juice, apple cider, ginger, lemon zest, and stir to combine. You're going to boil it for 20 to 30 minutes and reduce to a simmer. And it's going to reduce by half. Strain through a mesh strainer into a bowl. You're going to press the fruit with a spoon to get all the liquid out. So there should be 3 solid cups of syrup. Stir in 4 tablespoons of lemon juice, then put in the fridge until it's cooled. Syrup goes into the glass pitcher, then a spoon face down, touching the syrup, and pour the apple cider in. And when you keep layering using the same technique, then you're going to add the rum. You're going to garnish with cranberries, cloved apples, and lemons, and then add a little club soda just to finish it off on the top. So this is going to serve about 15 to 20 people. It seems a little labor intensive, but if you really want to impress your friends at a party, you make some magic punch.
You better write this up for me, because there's no way I'm posting that. That needs to go up on...
I'm emailing it to you.
I want that immediately, and not no screen grab. I want you to write it out for me. Because then I have to write it out, and that's usually really tough at midnight.
It's almost like a spiced punch or a spiced like cider.
True.
I am so in the mood for punch right now.
Me too. I'm all sorts of wanting some Christmas punch.
We need a tiki adventure, Hambone.
You know what? We are long overdue for a tiki adventure, George. We should do it Christmas week.
We should do it. But now, just so you guys are aware, I work Christmas week.
And...
But we need to figure this out. We need maybe a Lanois trip.
We should go to Lanois.
We need to figure this out.
Maybe
we'll figure that. Yeah. We'll do this
Saturday before New Year's.
Yeah. No. Maybe we'll figure something. Saturday before New Year's, I believe, actually is Christmas weekend. We'll figure that out. We need to do it. We need tiki. We need some.
We need
alcohol
tiki in our
us.
Life badly.
And we are going to spend the next. We are going to. This show is so off the rails already, and we've already, because it's backwards now, we're going to pick one segment from these, and you know which one I'm picking.
Oh, yes.
To fill up the lion's share of this show. We are doing a new segment once a month, yep. Not just called Poop Stories, which is actually coined by Greg Gethard in his Poop Story monologues.
I believe that.
We are going to do the punk rock canon. As many of you know, there is another podcast out there called The Canon, which basically pits famous movies against each other or just focuses on one movie, and they talk about it to death, usually very hipster-esque, usually very... I just don't like the show too much.
Bougie.
The worst part that happened is the person I liked on the show turned out to be a giant asshole douchebag, like women-hating son
really?
Of a bitch. So he got removed from the show because he used to touch women's vaginas when they didn't want him to.
Oh, that's no good.
So they... Bad. So that was just the other girl, and I never really loved her too much, and she just has guest hosts. Anyway, the canon's fine if you like that type of stuff, but we feel there needs to be another canon in this world.
Bigger
I think
canon.
There's room for lots of canons. We are going to do the punk rock canon.
Love it.
Once a month, we're going to have a segment on the show where for 15, 20 minutes, we are going to talk the hell out of either one album, or we're going to duel out 2 albums if we think it makes sense. At the end of that conversation, we're going to pick whether it belongs in the canon or not. Also, we are not the end-all and be-all, even though I kind of am, because I have my own cult.
He does have a cult, y'all.
We'll ever put up a... we were going to put up a survey on both Twitter and my personal Facebook page, because, shit, Facebook can't get any reach onto our fan pages. And we are going to find out what you think, and you're going to be the one who votes on whether an album will get into the punk rock canon. And that's going to be it. This is going to be the ultimate canon. Like, we are going to decide what the quintessential punk rock albums of all time are. We're not going to do metal.
Not
going to change it, guys, later. We're not going to do goth, Ken.
Why are you pointing at me?
He's actually pointing at Ken right now.
Ken EMD, Susie and the Banshee. We are going to do... We are going to do punk rock, because what are we? We are punk rock.
We are aging
Me
punk rockers.
Me and Hambone are punk rock.
For
we
real.
Are not aging.
I'm aging
I
very well.
I feel 40 years young.
I want to say that I'm actually aging very well. I
this
went to my high school reunion.
Gray.
I looked great.
This is not gray. This is sexual silver.
That's silver foxy.
I'm older than you, and I look 10 years younger.
That's because you don't wear a beard, Ken. Ken, I don't even know if you could grow a beard.
I can, but...
Please grow it. Please.
Not really.
Please grow the beard.
Sorta.
Please grow the beard. Hambone can't grow a beard.
I can't.
Like, Hambone took that medication that stopped him from growing facial hair, and then we have this.
Well, I did get a facial buzzer. I have, like, a sexy stubble going on right now.
That's a stubble.
You got a nice, smooth face.
That's electrolysis gone bad, is what
George.
That is.
George.
Stubble.
Hambone's got a nice,
handsome
smooth
guy stubble.
Face.
Can you at least
keep growing a mustache one day for us?
No, because my dad
you
has
would
the mustache.
Look porn star that, fresh.
That is my dad's move, man. My dad's move is the mustache. I have the soul patch.
Porn stash.
The porn stash. The porn stash. Women like that. Like, it's like, you know, tickles.
Yeah, no, it's like the John Waters.
Definitely. Go in there. Blah, blah, blah.
The Little
George.
Richard.
I'm so for it.
The Chuck Berry.
You should grow the mustache for Movember next year.
Oh, okay. You know what? For Movember,
I will
for
pay you.
Movember, I will
grow the thing.
I will grow a mustache for charity.
The Little Richard.
Josh grows his beard. I'm like, Josh, but you look better with a beard. So what's the point?
Yeah, that guy.
I will grow a sweet Magna PI for charity.
Josh is so damn good looking.
He is unbelievably
good
looking.
Why are we even friends with him?
I don't know.
Or is he going to hate us next week?
He's going to hate us
then
next week.
We should be talking about fucking how attractive Josh Goldfarb is.
I should, like, and him and I are about the same size. I should go to, like, the mall with him and try to meet girls. And, like, when they all come on to Josh, he'd be like, oh, I'm married. But have you met Hambone? Because, you know, I'm a pretty okay triple
he'll
down.
He'll be like his dog. He'll be walking.
Listen, man. Chicks like dogs.
Where does Josh live?
Josh lives in West Orange.
West Orange. He's the Kirk Douglas of West Orange.
We might use that next time we bring him on the show.
That's good.
He's a good-looking man.
That's Kirk a contribution right there.
Let's get back on the rails here, guys. Yeah. Punk Rock Cannon, this week,
what's
we are
album?
Going to start it off with a quintessential punk rock album. The only album that we can start it off with.
There is no
other album that even makes sense. There's an album that we shouldn't even be talking about because it's just in the canon. There is nothing better than this album
it's
in this
simple
world.
Simple Plans, No Helmets, No Pads, Just Balls.
Yeah. The Offspring's smash. Why are you laughing, Hambone?
I crack myself up sometimes.
I'm not the biggest Offspring fan.
Yeah, okay.
But I do believe that it should be in the punk rock canon. So,
absolutely.
So I will start it off with a little bit of history, mostly stolen from Wikipedia. But the Offspring, obviously created in the lovely California area, the Scream, North Hollywood, California, released two albums before Smash. I think it was a Nemesis record. It was very TSOL-ish. I think it was just called The Offspring, based off of the Jack... why am I blagging the book by that Jack Ketchum. Ketchum. Amazing book, by the way, if you're into that type of sick stuff. The Offspring were originally very TSOL driven, very much like gothy punk type music. Ken would love them. Ken, you're giving me that look. They went on to release Ignition a couple years later.
Ignition!
Which is... I think one of their best albums. It's definitely still following along the TSOL sound, but kind of getting a little bit into that groove of what will become the Offspring sound. And then they went to the studios. They signed to Epitaph Records. I think Ignition actually was on Epitaph, but they released Smash in 1994, the year that punk broke. The most important year in punk rock, next to the year I was born, 1977.
You know it.
They released on Epitaph Records. They immediately... like hit critical acclaim with Come Out and Play. You got to keep them separated. Followed that up with no one hit wonder here. A song about gang warfare.
Yep.
Was topping the charts. Followed it up with Self-Esteem, Got to Get Away, Bad Habit, which never actually became a single, even though everybody thinks it is. It became the biggest album ever. At the same time, bands like Green Day and Rancid also were coming up. Dookie was gigantic, and it became this critical mass of punk rock in 1994, just as I was hitting puberty and becoming very, very active in the punk rock world.
Yes, you were.
Just in the punk rock world. The band ended up becoming the largest selling independent artists ever. Like... I don't think an album will ever beat The Offspring's Smash. It sold over 11 million copies worldwide, 6.3 million in the United States. Again, no other independent artist has ever achieved that. And with the way the music industry is now, probably never will achieve that.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
So that's where we're at today. The Offspring... I've seen them many a times. They're not the best live band in the world, but Smash was actually, it was a weird album where it was actually better than it was live, even though I found most bands better to be live than on their album.
Recorded, yeah.
What are your thoughts? Do you think it belongs in the canon? Why? And tell us about your thoughts on The Offspring.
I'm not a fan of The Offspring. First and foremost, we're not going to bury the lead here, guys. I'm not, nor have I ever been a fan of The Offspring. I was one of the people who never bought this record because I kind of thought they sucked and they were lame. That being said, I remember when it came out, and Come Out and Play was inescapable, and they were getting a lot of heat because the riff was very similar to a Murphy's Law song.
What, like, Murphy's Law song? It sounds like no Murphy's Law song.
I forget the name of it off the top of my
head.
You are
just making shit up right now.
Separated.
I am not making shit up right now. They were getting a lot of heat because you have to remember, during that time in the early 90s, everyone was pointing the sellout finger at everyone. But
they hadn't sold out. They were on Epitaph. They hadn't sold out until the next year.
Right. But when that song came out and it ended up on MTV... I mean, that's where we're at in society at that point. If you're in the punk rock scene in the early 90s, especially around 94 to 96, everyone's pointing the sellout finger. Everyone's giving people shit. I mean, Kurt Cobain, you know, was really, really fearful of being called a sellout. And I mean, and he was selling more records than anybody. I think it does belong in the canon because it really was something that did break through punk rock to the masses. It really was the thing that kicked the doors open. You know, a lot of people will look at Green Day's Dookie and say, well, that was it. But, you know, I don't know that Dookie would be possible without the Offspring's Smash record coming out. You know, that being said as well, the one song I really do like by them is Bad Habit. It was really funny to watch them play. I don't know if it was the Grammys, the American Music Awards, but they played it. Dexter Holland was wearing like this really cheesy blue suit, and they made a little mosh pit to make it feel a little more authentic for them because they opened up the show with it. They actually,
and that wasn't a single. Like
It wasn't a single. And they had to bleep out a whole bunch of cuss words because it was the AMAs. They opened up the show with a non-single track that had a whole lot of cursing in it with a little baby mosh pit in front of the stage.
No other favorite songs off that album.
No. I never really liked them. I always thought their jokey shit was really stupid and got stupider over time with like Pretty Fly for a White Guy and
Gotta Keep Them Separated.
Yeah, it's like that's kind of what I think of the Offspring. However, I do like really like that Bad Habit song. I was listening to the record today before I came on the air tonight, and that song came on. I'm like, wow, this is probably the best song they've ever written, like soup to nuts. The Kids Are Not Alright was pretty good as well. I think that was off the album with the bug on it. But the cockroach. Speaking of cockroaches.
Ken Lucas. Curse!
I'm sorry to disappoint you boys and break the news to you, but punk rock ended in 84.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Yeah. So, while...
Wait, Ken.
I'll say, like, the Offspring's, you know, they're a decent alternative band. I don't think they're punk or...
They're like third wave.
Yeah.
If you want to...
Those bands in the 90s, like... Yeah, they're...
It's like the third wave of punk rock.
So yeah, like... Yeah, pop punk or... There's nothing like that early. See, I guess maybe I'm a jaded old man and a purist to a degree. I don't know. But to me, punk is that 70s movement built on, you know, frustrated youth in England or, you know, people frustrated with rock and roll and in the U.S., to me, that's the real punk rock. Sorry.
So when you heard that lick and Keep Them Separate, it didn't send chills down your spine.
No. I was like, this is like, you know, frat boy alternative music.
See, I'd say that would be Sublime or the Muddy Muddy Boss Tones or Pennywise. I would not give that to
I would
the
almost
Offspring.
Say Pennywise is more punk than Offspring.
All right. And that's where we're going to wrap up. No, I'm not going to wrap up this segment. Have you ever seen The Offspring live?
Maybe.
Oh, boy. We're going to move away from Ken right now. Hambone, you said you have seen them live.
Yeah, they were boring as shit. It was a festival. And
see,
like,
I can't remember. His is pretty bad, though.
You know, the other thing is, it's like... I appreciate them because I know a lot of people who are really into them. And people who are really into them, I feel like got their money's worth of oh my God, I'm seeing The Offspring live. People who weren't into him like me was like, oh my God, I'm seeing The Offspring live and I'm too young to buy beer. Like, because, I mean, to me, they're the band that, you know, when you're at a concert or a festival, I'm going to go get online for a beer, go take a piss. Because, like, I want to hear him play one song. I could probably hear pretty good from the bathroom.
So The Offspring were the first time I ever got knocked out at a concert.
Really?
I was
of all places.
I was in the back. Well, The Offspring were also on the bill for the very first punk rock show I ever went to in my life.
Which, okay, so what was the bill?
1993 was, the bill was Guttermouth.
Oh boy.
The Offspring, Lunachicks, and the second to last Big Drill Car show.
Wow, where was that?
Irving Plaza.
Shit.
Lunachicks.
And but the first time I ever got knocked out at a show was at the Roseland Ballroom. It was No Use for a Name and someone else probably in The Offspring. And it was during No Use for a Name set, some douchebags decided to start crowd surfing in the back of the Roseland.
Oh, that always happens.
And someone just clocked me with a Doc Martin in the head.
They used to build Doc Martens a lot stronger back then, too.
Knocked
so that's
me
tough.
Out. Second,
they were heavy.
The only other time I've ever been knocked out of a show was Agnostic Front. Maxwell's reunion show. Elbow to the bridge of the nose.
See, that makes a lot more sense. A
lot more sense. At least I feel more proud saying that one than
you
I got.
You should probably lead with that one.
No, because it's true. The Offspring were a band that never really did it for me live. I think it was just because they didn't have enough guitar sound with just Noodles playing, which is why they attempted to bolster it with Dexter playing, but then he became kind of the lead singer, frontman, guitar player type thing that didn't work too well.
No, it definitely didn't work. And Noodles' guitar tone always sounded like ass.
But I will say that recent times I've seen them when they've added Todd Morris from H2O on guitar.
Do they let him be on the stage or do you have to hide behind the amps?
He hid behind the amps for a little bit until they realized that's kind of dumb. Let's put him on stage.
Yeah, he's kind
so
of
So he's
a
on
big
stage
band.
Now. But he, you know, has helped them kind of like a little more of a wall of sound.
Yeah, you kind of need it. And again, believe me, my real malaise for The Offspring does not disqualify them from the canon. I mean, what they did for that place and that time, the amount of records that they sold. I mean, a lot of people, whether you want to refer to it as real punk rock, third generation punk rock or not, a lot of people that was... Yeah, or alternative, whatever you want to call it, Ken. For a lot of people, that was the big stepping stone that got them into a world. Like, I mean, maybe a kid who had never heard if they had not ever heard The Offspring, never would have discovered, like, Bad Religion or the Sex Pistols or, like, The Damned. You know, so I can't ever hate on a band for being someone's first step. And also, selling 11 million copies, they, you know, made some stuff a lot more acceptable in the mainstream. So I fully endorse this band that I dislike for the canon.
And obviously, I think they do belong in the canon. Ken?
For the record, I just want to say that I didn't say I hated The Offspring.
Oh, no.
They're pretty good, but can you put
Are they pretty fly for white guys?
For a bunch of white guys? George, do me a favor. In post, throw some echo on my voice as I say this.
Hold on. I don't even need to do it in post. I can probably... Hold on, let me throw some...
Don't worry about it.
I'm completely going to mess everything up. Hold on. Let me...
Not... Canon.
What did you just say?
Not canon.
Hold on. All right, reverb's gone. We got to do everything.
Good.
We're not going to do it in post.
Not canon. I'm sorry.
All right, we're going to be moving on now to our Clash of Champions, Night of Champions. What's this thing called?
Champion!
We are going to get the master of pro wrestling on the line, the king of hard style, the illustrious, honorable Don Becker on the line now.
Yes.
Don, are you with us?
Hold on, I'm jamming out to my theme music. Yeah.
Do you know what I think about Rush?
I don't care what you think about Rush.
Don't do it, George.
I don't think about Rush.
Okay.
Because nobody should. Are you really going to let me not make fun of Don ever again on this show?
Just for like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
Fuck that. I take issue, by the way, with something that was said during your final battle recap last week.
What did we say? What did you take issue with, Don? Let us know. Air your grievances on the air right now.
You said that a four-corner survival match was a match where the winner had to touch all four corners, and that is not what a four-corner survival match is. It is a fatal four-way elimination match.
I admit I was wrong. I thought about that after.
Wait. A four-corners match is where you have to touch each corner.
No, that's like a dog collar match or a Texas bull rope match.
Yep.
Strap match.
So what's a four-corners match?
Four guys in the ring.
Just four guys in the ring.
I don't know if they do it tag style or if it's just like a tornado.
I don't know. I don't understand what you're talking about, but I will agree.
But is it single elimination or whoever pins the person wins?
Last man standing.
Okay, there you go.
You know what? We'll just call it even. I thought that was a four-way dance.
Apology accepted.
It was my bad.
Anyway... Clash of Champions coming up, SmackDown only pay-per-view. I'm not excited at all.
You know, I'm not excited either. And that being said, we always say when it's a non-Big Four pay-per-view that we're not excited about, it ends up being awesome.
And you're right, which is why I'm not going to get, like TLC I thought was going to be hot garbage.
Right.
And I believe that was really good, even though the TLC match really made no sense.
Well, there's no stipulations.
There was no belt holding in there. Now, Clash of Champions should be what Survivor Series was, which is all the champions fighting each other from the different shows, correct?
That's what I thought.
Don, you're the historian here. You're the elder statesman, literally. Wasn't this called Night of Champions, and wasn't this a former WCW pay-per-view?
Yeah, Clash of Champions was the NWA's response to WWE putting the Royal Rumble on USA to counteract an NWA pay-per-view. So Clash of Champions, the first one, aired opposite WrestleMania 4 on free TV. Well, on cable.
Really? So up against it? Like at the same time, so we're going to give it away for free, and maybe nobody will buy WrestleMania.
That was kind of what they were going
for. And it clearly failed.
Well, I mean, I think the TV ratings for Clash of Champions showed there were more people watching Clash of Champions than WrestleMania, but that could have also been like people just like channel hopping.
It's also free, and we're also talking about at the time. I don't know what wrestle is this WrestleMania 1 we're talking about?
Four,
which was a horrible one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wasn't a very good one.
I was there.
You were? Was that Atlantic City?
Yeah, I was at the. I went to both of those.
That was the one in the Coliseum.
4 and 5,
yeah,
right?
You know what? The Trump Plaza. At the time, as a kid, I loved seeing them.
I mean,
I was older.
You loved Cena?
No, seeing them.
Ken does not love Cena.
I cannot remember. Okay, so then tell me in, what was that WrestleMania's headline? What was it?
That was the tournament.
It was like the one where Hogan got eliminated during a tournament and.
Savage and DiBiase at the end.
Yeah.
Was that the one where they came to the ring in little rings?
No, that was 3.
That was 3? They never did that again?
They did it at 6.
Yeah, 3 and 6.
See, I'm young. I don't remember these things. I'm almost millennial by 3 years.
I'm younger than you.
Shut up. So Clash of Champions, no longer Night of Champions, no longer WCW.
Yeah.
It is now a WWE SmackDown pay-per-view, kind of a throwaway between Royal Rumble and the Survivor Series. We only have one pay-per-view this year between the two of them.
You know what's funny? I actually, when we were looking into figuring out when to give you the belt, I forgot that there wasn't even a pay-per-view between Survivor Series and Royal Rumble because this pay-per-view is so inconsequential to anything that's happening.
And so let's go through the card and let's pick who we think is going to win. And obviously chime in if you have your thoughts on anything. Mojo Riley is going to fight Zack Ryder must be the pre-show match.
Oh, it's got to be the pre-show. It just got added.
Rowley.
Is it the battle of the hype?
Hype bros.
It's
Rowley wins.
The battle of the storyline that no one really wanted.
This is just bad, isn't it?
It's kind of bad. They decided to finally turn Mojo Rowley heel and turn him on Zach. It's a classic tag team story breakup, a la the Rockers, Shawn Michael, Marty Jannetty, with the exception that neither guy is going to launch to Shawn Michael status.
None.
It's not happening.
But they both might become Marty Jannetty.
They're both Marty Jannetty.
What do you think is going to be? What's the outcome of this, Don? What are your thoughts?
It doesn't look good for Long Island ICC. It definitely feels like Mojo is going to win. But it really does kind of underscore one of the biggest problems I have with WWE right now is it seems like unless you're twins like the Usos, tag teams are basically just a vehicle for the breakup and the feud.
Agreed. Good point.
Unless it's the Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Where they can't break those guys up to, like, save themselves.
Yeah. Seriously, they're like magnets.
So, this is a big, serious question for you, Don. Is Long Island sad right now?
Long Island is very sad, but we're kind of used to that from Zach.
Yeah, I mean, you have the Islanders, too.
And they're losing right now 4-0, so yeah, Long Island's sad.
Long Island's very sad.
But if Long Island gets the stadium built at Belmont Park and brings the Islanders back, they'll be happy again.
But the Islanders aren't actually in Long Island anymore?
They're in Brooklyn.
They're in Brooklyn.
Did you know that?
Oh, I actually did know that. Yeah.
I had no idea.
And I don't sports, but I actually knew about that.
So it's like the New Jersey Nets.
Yes. The Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets now.
So Brooklyn owns everything.
Yeah. Brooklyn in the house, y'all.
But why did they get to keep the name?
Brooklyn.
Why don't we have the New Jersey Giants?
I don't know. I don't sports, man. I know very little, and I've actually just expended all the sports knowledge that I have.
Have you thought
that? And Brooklyn is still on Long Island. It's just nobody likes to be reminded of that when they live in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and they're buying into a franchise, so it's already established.
There you go.
Do you guys think we would be more popular if we liked sports?
Nah.
Nope.
We would just kind of like blend in with the masses. Well, Don would.
Don is already popular. He likes sports.
He likes sports. But he likes soccer.
And hockey.
And hockey. Those are like the off-geek sports.
Yeah, they're like.
They are.
They are. They're not.
Left to center.
Yeah, they're not exactly.
Can I complete the trifecta on the weird sports? I also like curling.
Boom! Yeah. Yeah.
Curling's great.
If you threw rugby at me, maybe I'd buy into it. The curling thing, that's interesting.
You know, I should put you in touch with my buddy Frank. He's playing with Every Time I Die this weekend, and they're doing a charity curling thing, and he's looking to figure out how to win at curling.
Don is Canadian by proxy.
He really is.
Pretty much, yeah. The Rush didn't give it away.
Yeah, it's the gateway drug to Canada right
Poutine,
there.
Poutine, Tim Hortons.
Next thing you know, it's Neil Young and Bryan Adams and
Marillion.
Other Canadian bands.
Sum 41 and Fiona Apple.
Is she Canadian?
Skinny Puppy.
No, I'm confusing her with the other one.
Alanis Morissette.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a wide berth there.
No, that is not. That is very, very, that's an easy mistake. Mojo Riley versus Zack Ryder. Who's winning that? Don.
Mojo.
Hambone.
Mojo, but I'm rooting for Zach.
Ken.
Mojo, and I'm rooting for nobody.
Mojo. And just because I just don't think Zack Ryder has a future in the WWE.
Oh, man.
He's getting fired soon.
Impact Wrestling is the only future for that man.
He'll go to Ring of Honor, make money.
Blah, blah, blah. You say that. No way. He's an Impact. He's too pretty for Ring of Honor. Attractive people don't go to the Honorable Ring.
So you're saying that Cody, they fully
Cody Rhodes isn't that attractive. He's wearing a suit. That's the only thing that makes him attractive.
Most handsome dude in Ring of Honor.
Exactly, and that's not saying much.
Oh, George.
But it's true.
Savage.
It's damn true.
No love for the party peacock.
Oh, I can't wait.
The Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, he's pretty pretty.
The Bludgeon Brothers versus Breezango. I gotta say, I'm upset Breezango's being pushed to like Facebook Live, YouTube status
terrible.
Now.
Yeah. I don't like that.
That sucks.
I'm assuming the Bludgeon Brothers are winning this because
Bludgeon Brothers.
They have trailers.
Yeah. They've had nothing but squash matches thus far, so the first people they're gonna face are going to get punished.
Are we enjoying the Bludgeon Brothers?
Not really.
Kind of, sorta.
I kind of think I do. Their match the other night was pretty good against
two jobbers.
You know,
no, they weren't jobbers. One guy was a former WWE superstar.
Which one?
Don, help me.
The one that screamed when he got powerbombed?
No, the other one.
The one that like just rolled out of the ring and just said, nope, pass.
Yeah, that was a former WWE superstar. Jeez. Someone help me here. I'm failing.
It doesn't matter.
I haven't been watching SmackDown. So.
He's on the job squad now.
No, you guys are all wrong. I think the Bludgeon Brothers. Don, who do you think's winning?
It's definitely going to be the Bludgeon Brothers. I kind of wish they had thrown the Hype Bros in as their first victims instead of Breezango, though, because Breezango is so much fun.
They already beat up the Hype Bros.
Yeah, they already did beat up the Hype Bros.
That's how they broke the Hype Bros.
Yeah, that's how the Hype Bros.
I told you I've been watching SmackDown.
Yeah. Bludgeon Brothers.
Bludgeon Brothers. Okay, so we're the Bludgeon Brothers. So far, we're Bruiser Brody.
Back on the dead.
Tag Team Championship, the Usos versus Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, also known as the New American Alpha, The New Day, and Rusev and Aiden English, all four-way dance or four corners match or whatever the hell Don calls it. Are you excited, Hambone?
I'm actually really excited about this. I'm going to go curveball and say it's Rusev Day.
You think it's Rusev Day?
I think it's Rusev Day.
I mean,
Day.
It's every day is Rusev Day.
But I think that will specifically be Rusev Day.
Have you seen the Rusev video where he does the Rusev Day dance to Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy?
Oh, no.
Oh, please go see it. It's amazing. It is.
That's
it,
my first stop after this episode.
Yes. It's I think I'm cute. But he sings it, and he's dancing in or cutting the promos of him. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's Rusev Day on Sunday.
I think the Usos are going to hold on, only because of all those teams, they're the only ones who still, I think, continue to need it. Rusev and Aiden English cannot be tag team champions.
And if for any reason, by happen.
It just should, Rusev's being squandered. Lana's now wearing a wrestling outfit, so I guess she's wrestling now.
Allegedly.
I can't figure out what's going on with Rusev. What did Rusev do? Who did he piss off to bury himself where he is right now?
I wouldn't say it's bury. He's on the show every week. He's got
Let
his own
Ken
segment.
Speak, damn it.
Well, I mean, they buried him when I think they moved him from Raw to SmackDown. I was just going to say, I want it to be the Usos, but I think Hambone might be right.
Hambone's never right. He's not allowed to be right.
They dropped some weird clue on SmackDown that it could very well be them. I don't know.
Could be Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin with that horrible promo.
No, I think that they're about to break up and go fight each other. I think that's the next move.
He did say they were the King Kong of Ish this week. That was pretty bad. Oh, Don?
It's going to be Rusev Day, and you're going to be elated, George.
I can't believe the three of you are all siding against me.
I want it to be the Usos. I just think Hambone is right.
Hey, broken clock.
Hey, I don't want to admit it, because last week Hambone pissed me off.
I am not a broken clock, motherfucker!
No, I'm the broken clock, asshole. I'm right twice a day. And actually, speaking of that, I actually said before you got here, I was ready to walk that back today, and I sent you that Kenny Omega thing the other night, where I was in the middle of saying last week that I'm kind of over it, because I don't really think he does grid promos. And then I watched the stuff leading up to the Jericho fight, and I'm like, wow, I was completely wrong about that, and I need to kilt Ken publicly. So here you go, buddy. I'm walking it back.
Not too sweet you for that.
There you go, buddy. Too sweet.
Next match, United States Championship, Baron Corbin versus Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler.
Poor Bobby Roode.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any way around this. Bobby Roode's winning that belt.
He has to. He's the most. The other two are so boring.
He has to.
If anyone here hasn't heard the, I think it was Edge and Christian with Dolph Ziggler's podcast. Is Dolph Ziggler on their podcast? He cares so little about wrestling right now. It's ridiculous. Like, he was even saying out there, I just show up and collect a check at this point. Like,
oh yeah.
If it wasn't for the fact that he's too pretty to be on Ring of Honor, he would be on Impact right now.
Yeah, but it's true.
Just go do comedies, Dolph.
That's all he really wants to do.
But I think he wants to make money, and depends if whether he's been selling, saving or not.
True story.
You know, we don't know. Don, your thoughts?
I think Baron Corbin retains, and I think it's going to be a situation that keeps Corbin and Roode alive for one more pay-per-view.
Good call. I think it's going to be Roode. I think that Corbin could kind of float around without a belt for a bit, but Roode definitely needs it to kind of stay over.
Bobby Roode is the champion material here, like the heavyweight champion material. That's one of these things are not like the other.
Yeah, I know.
I want him to stop saying glorious and just beat the crap out of people.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Women's championship match, the rematch, Charlotte Flair versus Natalya Lumberjack with the Riot Squad. Your thoughts, Hambone?
Charlotte.
But do you have any thoughts?
My thoughts on it are the Riot Squad's totally going to interfere, and I think that Natalya is going to try to get the Riot Squad to help her, but in a way, they're going to end up helping Charlotte. But Charlotte definitely, if it doesn't end in a DQ because it turns into a brawl, Charlotte's going home with that belt.
Okay. I think it's Charlotte. I have no interest in Natalya as the champion at all. It was the most boring. Like, there's just nothing there. I just don't care. I want it to be Charlotte. I hope it's Charlotte. I don't know. Is this a pay-per-view in Charlotte? In which case, she'll probably lose. Or the Queen's country or whatever the hell she's from. Don?
Yeah, Charlotte's winning.
Charlotte.
I don't see. I think, you know, Natalya's done. She got her token reign. She's fine. And then Charlotte moves on to something with Ruby Riott.
Ruby, I'm sorry, guys. I can't with the Riot Squad. I can't get. I can't with Absolution. I can't with them running the same angle on two shows and half-assing it.
That's kind of a problem.
I can't with any of this. I can't with the women's revolution right now. Like, I'm so... Vince McMahon basically said, I need six women and make sure that hot blonde comes up too.
Two hot blondes.
The two hot blondes. Make sure all the hot blondes come up, and I'll take anything else because I'm so bored with my women right now.
Yeah.
And Triple H is like, well, I'm not going to give you the good people. I'm going to give you the whatever the shit that's left over, that kind of okay, that like whatever, and sent them up. I mean, why isn't the iconic duo the greatest thing in professional wrestling right now? Why are they not brought up?
Yeah, that I don't understand. Because the iconic duo are ready to go. They've been ready to go for a while.
And I'm not referring to me and you, Hambone.
Dude, you know what? Thank you. But I know you're not referring to me and you. You're referring to Peyton Royce and Billy Kay. See, I think that the girls that they brought up are very talented. And I think that if they... The one thing that you're right, that you're so right about is that they're actually doing the exact same angle to a T on both shows. Like, I get it. They're both usurpers. They're both coming up to shake things up. But they, Soho, they come. They beat everyone up. And the next week, the whole roster beats them up. It's like, come on. If they split it up and they actually do some different shit, I think it could be really good for the women's division. But right now, it's just a repeat of Monday night on Tuesday night.
So cranky right now. Whoever we ask, who else?
Yeah, me.
Yeah, Ken, what about you?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Carmella Cashin. But let me just say... Yeah, because, you know, if you think about it, this match is boring. Natalya's a good wrestler. She's terrible on the mic.
Terrible.
It could be a good, you know, technical match, but I think it's going to be boring. Ruby Riott, that Riott squad's going to interfere, and Carmella could easily cash in and take the belt.
Once everyone's beat up and bloodied.
Yeah, and that would give the, you know, match some shock if it's going to be potentially boring.
See, here's the thing, though. I mean, Charlotte and Natalya had a really great match at an NXT TakeOver early on. And I feel like throwing them in a lumberjill match, because they don't want to call it a lumberjack match, is just, I think that just really restricts what they can do.
I agree.
Well,
it
allows for interference.
And look, I'm not
exactly
I'm not completely run them down. The match they had recently, the match before this, was very good too. I mean, I think it was on a SmackDown when she won the belt. When they were doing the, we got to rewrite the whole show because we fucked the whole thing up.
Yep.
Survivor Series.
You know it.
The match was very good. So I don't think these two can't go. I've seen it. I'm tired. Like, every match on here is a rematch, such as the World Championship match. Champion Cha.
I just want to say also on the woman thing, there was a theory going out that Paige was supposed to be leading both groups. Now, if they actually address that, that would make more sense.
A lot more sense.
That she was leading a true revolution to, you know, invade both brands.
But I think it also leads me to say, which is like, there was no plan. I was watching NXT the last 2 weeks, and they've had Ruby Riott versus Sonya, whatever her name is. Because
Deville.
They would never have taped all that stuff. But they're not even really mentioning the fact they were brought up. They've got these horrible Moro overdubs.
Right.
I think they shot NXT not knowing that Vince could be like, I need women now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Those girls shouldn't be on the mic either. They're all terrible.
All terrible. The worst are the two. Absolution.
Yeah.
Absolute garbage.
Oh, I've got lines coming pretty off. Pretty terrible. It stinks so bad.
Don, did we get your choice for women's championship?
Oh, yeah. I already said it was going to be Charlotte. Yep.
WWE Championship, AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. Their last match was excellent.
Yeah, well, that's because AJ Styles is excellent.
I mean, they're doing the weird, like...
AJ's awesome.
I love the fact that AJ's not playing dumb and thinks the Singh brothers are going to be...
Oh, that was great.
I thought the opening segment was very good this week.
Very good this week.
And, you know, I am going to throw something out there. I think the Great Khali is going to come back again.
Oh, please no.
Because AJ mentioned him.
Yep.
Please no. I know. And I thought that too. And I was like, please no.
I think the Great Khali is going to be...
I think Jinder might take the belt back.
I think he might take it. Or AJ might give a Styles Clash in the second rope on the Great Khali.
That'd be great.
That would be amazing.
Don, what do you think? Are you a fan of the Maharaja?
Not really, no. I'm a fan of the Singh brothers. Because they bump like crazy.
Yep.
They do.
Yeah, dude.
Even they survived that one. Jinder Mahal killed that other one last week.
Oh, I thought he broke his arm.
I don't know. So what do you think? Who do you think is going to win? Jinder Mahal or AJ Styles, Don?
I think it's going to be AJ.
Gotta be.
I don't know. Does it have to be? I mean, the experiment's kind of over. I actually like Jinder chasing a little more than like AJ Styles just looks right with the belt.
AJ Styles looks right with the belt, and my thing is, I think that the actual swerve is going to be that the actual swerve is going to be that the Singh brothers are going to help AJ out in the end of all this. They're actually going to finally turn on Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, I don't think the Triple H template that the heel always having the belt works anymore.
No, and especially when the heel's Jinder Mahal because he stinks.
Yeah, he's kind of stale.
I
like him though.
I will say I don't love the Bollywood boys though.
Yeah, no, the Singh brothers are just better as the Singh brothers. Not the, I actually really like the Bollywood boys.
I didn't.
And, you know, the thing is, I like the idea of Jinder Mahal, but they just, after that program that he did with...
Randy?
With Shinsuke Nakamura.
Ah.
I just can't.
The reverse racism one?
Oh my God, it was terrible.
Yeah. It was pretty bad.
But yeah, go AJ all day.
Painful.
Ken? You said Jinder, right? Jinder?
I mean, obviously I want AJ. That's like... You know, I'm like a huge AJ fan. Forget about it. I kind of think, though, maybe they'll swerve it a little bit and give it to Jinder. It could just be for like a month. And then he drops it to someone else.
And then what's actually the headlining match, or I don't know if it's the headlining match, but it's the match that everybody is following on the show. The weird Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn versus Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, which is... Shinsuke has just been thrown in because they have nothing else for him.
Because why not? Fuck it.
Randy Orton, who should just... I can't with Randy. And I love the Yep movement. The Yep movement
is hilarious.
I think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are taking dog shit and turning into something a little more palpable. I like the possibility of Daniel Bryan turning...
Heel.
The thing is, are they even heels? Like, clearly Shane McMahon's been the heel through everything, through Survivor Series, through now. Shane McMahon has been the heel, but he's Shane McMahon, so he's a good guy. The Yep movement is amazing.
So I'm thinking it'll be like this weird double turn where it's like Shane ends up being a little more babyface. But like, what's Daniel Bryan really going to do as a heel if he can't wrestle? Like, he's going to be a heel. He's going to finally become the authority. Like,
I just don't know what they're doing because, first of all, the crowd is catching. There was lots of yep, 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 yep. Like, they closed with just a sea of yeps. And Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are right about everything they're complaining about.
They are. 100%. 100%.
Makes no fucking sense.
I don't know. Nothing makes sense.
Who's winning this Hambone? Yep.
Owens. Owens Zayn.
Yep movement.
Yep movement.
This is a step forward for the Yep movement. This is a Yep revolution.
This is a Yep revolution.
Ken, what do you think?
Owens and Zayn win. Yep.
Yep.
Check.
I think so too.
Double check.
Don.
Yep.
Triple check.
Don, before we go today, I heard a rumor that you might have a great concert story that we might have missed out on earlier in the episode.
It's not a strange concert story, but it's kind of an awesome story. It was from the one time that I ever got to see Pink Floyd.
Nice.
It was their last North American show. It was the show at Giant Stadium that closed the U.S. tour in 94. My buddy and I were on the floor right by the mixing desk. So, you know, 50-yard line at Giant Stadium. And I don't care. I'm in the building. It's Pink Floyd. They're my favorite band. I'm loving life. They do an intermission. You know, so you can go buy more merch. And this couple comes up to us, husband and wife, and the wife is very pregnant, like 39 weeks in or something, and still going to the show. And her husband's like, listen, we don't know if she's actually going into labor or if her water's going to break or something like that. We want to be a little closer to the exit. Can you switch with us? We're up front somewhere. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, look at the tickets. The tickets look legit. 10th row.
From the floor.
10th row from the stage, yeah.
Wow.
On the floor.
For
Pink Floyd.
I really thought they were going to like offer to have like a weird sex act with you two.
No, I don't have like any like super weird concert stories. Like I had one girl that mistakenly groped me, but I don't think she realized where I was in relation to her hand. I don't think it was intentional at all or that she thought I was her boyfriend or something.
That's perfectly understandable.
Little OPHJ. All right.
It's all good.
But the Floyd thing, the best part of the Floyd thing is the second set they did all of Dark Side of the Moon.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
And you've already had your Prague moment of the month, so you don't get another one.
It kind of dovetailed nicely. I had to sneak a little bit of Prague in with the concert story.
Don Becker, how can the kids reach you?
They can knock on my door, but I'd get really freaked out. But best bet would be to hit me up on Twitter at I'm Don Becker. That's letter I, letter M, Don Becker, not I am Don Becker. Instagram at Don Becker. I don't have a public Facebook page, but yeah, Facebook and Instagram, Twitter and Instagram, probably the best ways.
And there you go. Ken, you beautiful, beautiful man, you. Where is your, where, why do I always, there you are, there you are,
here
there
we go.
You are.
Here we go.
Ken, where, how can the kids reach you?
How can they find me in the crypt?
Especially now, you'd better start plugging yourself hard because
yeah,
you are now like,
yeah,
seriously.
No, I know. All right.
This is your platform. Where's your website?
My platform.
Do it.
Website's coming very soon, but you could follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and all those other fun sites at Curse, K-U-R-S-S-E. At Zombie Gentleman, my fun art page project business where we make lots of fun, dark, horror, creepy items.
I love some of the light boxes you've been doing lately.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So much good stuff.
Working on
so
tons,
much,
great
so much
stuff, tons
yeah.
of stuff. I will be actually at the Hudson Art Festival in Kearney Point this weekend, December 17th, Sunday.
Be there. Check it out. Find Curse. He's easy to find. He's got the little like wonky eye thing going on, but he'll hug you.
Skull.
He'll hug you anywhere.
Skull.
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 Skull. Skull.
George.
Hambone.
You can find me on Twitter. I'm tweeting a lot these days. I will converse with you on the Twitter. If you got any feedback about the show, you want to just talk about pop culture, you can find me at Hambreaker on Twitter. And that's it. I keep the rest of my life private.
He's also Hamboner on Tinder.
I'm not Hamboner on Tinder. I'm not on Tinder. I'm on Bumble, George.
Well, there you go. There you go. And
you are.
My name is George. You can reach me at cultofgeorge.com. I just skewered Bruce Dickinson's new book. You can find me at GLK Creative on Instagram. You can find me at GLK Creative on Twitter. I tweet about phones, but I also tweet about my love for Hambone. You can find me at glkcreative.com. Still looking for two more weddings for 2018. You need me, I'm there. Last two ever. I'm George. This is Hambone. That's Ken. Don is in the ear tubes. I'm hitting the real music because I might be pretty fly for a white guy, but
everybody,
I'm way more cheeky and awesome.
Remember to be nice. Aloha.
Перебитые поломаны крылья, серой болью всю душу свело. Кокаина серая.
I don't know what the hell's in there, but it's weird and pissed off, whatever it is.